Following the seven proof texts that accompany the catechism question and answer we're looking at today. But to give us some focal point, I want to look at Psalm 119 in a single verse, verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. There we read a prayer that the psalmist offers in this Psalm 119, the longest of the psalms. And it's all dedicated to the Word of God. And here is a prayer that is uttered. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let's pray again together. Lord, this is our prayer. As we open the Word, and this is truly our meditation, our prayer each time we hear a sermon preached, a lesson taught, we read a Christian book for edification, and most particularly when we read the Scriptures, we ask that you would give us illumination, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us minds to comprehend. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're in the home stretch of our series through the Baptist Catechism, as it was slightly edited by Spurgeon, and that's the catechism we use. We recommend to our membership to use in catechizing your children and in teaching ourselves, reminding ourselves of the systematic truths, a good way to interpret the teachings of Scripture. And in this final section, it talks about what are called the ordinances that are also called the outward and ordinary means of grace. How is it people are converted and how is it that they grow? How is it that they are sanctified in Christ? And the Catechism teaches that we grow through the Word. That means that the reading of the Word, the preaching of the Word, through prayer and meditation, through the ordinances or sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we've been focusing now on these. We looked last time at the Word, the power of the Word. And we continue that meditation today with question 73, which asks, how is the Word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? And the answer given is this: that the Word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. There are then attached to this question and answer seven proof texts to illuminate or illustrate or give a foundation for each one of these aspects of how the Word of God might be made effective, not only for our salvation, but also for our sanctification, our growth in grace. And so I want to look at the seven ways in which the Catechism teaches that the Word is to be attended to so that it can be made effectual for us. And these seven ways accompanied by seven proof texts. The first way in which we must attend to the Word, the Catechism teaches, is with diligence. That the Word of God may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence. And the proof text that is given is Proverbs 8:34, which says this: blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And the illustration is, the picture we see is of a man waiting to meet with another. And perhaps the man that he's waiting to meet with is his benefactor or his boss, his master if he's a servant. And if he wants to have the opportunity to meet with him, He must be diligent, and he must be there. He must be at the gate. He must be waiting by the post of the door in order to catch a glimpse of the Master. And the lesson is that if we are going to gain from the Word of God, we must be diligent in reading it. We must be diligent in listening to it preached and taught. And we must be diligent because we want to catch a glimpse of the Master in His Word, as He is revealed in His Word. And so the question we can ask practically of ourselves is this: are we being diligent in attending to the Word of God? Are we being diligent in the daily reading of the Scriptures? Very often, at the beginning of the year, we encourage people to try to read through the Bible, at least to try to read through the New Testament, to at least spend some part of each day reading the Scriptures. Good to read a whole chapter if you can, but if it's just a shorter passage, sometimes a shorter passage can be read and just meditated upon, thought upon, chewed upon throughout the day. And so we are to be diligent in the daily reading of the Word of God. We're also to be diligent in at least weekly, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, attendance upon the hearing of the Word of God preached and taught. We talked more about this week before last, when we talked about how the Word is made effectual to salvation. And we talked about how God has ordained that preaching be the means by which people are converted and also edified in the faith. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 that it was by the foolishness of preaching that God was pleased to have men saved. Or he says in Romans 10, how will they hear without a preacher? And he says also Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 10, 25 says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as we see the day approaching. And so we need daily intake of the Word of God, reading it. We need at least weekly opportunities to hear the Word preached and taught. And the question that we might ask is then, are we as diligent in hearing the Word as we are in caring for mundane concerns? Are we as diligent in hearing the Word of God as we are for caring, for example, for our physical bodies? Would we go days and weeks without eating, without drinking, without bathing, without grooming? Of course not. Then how could we go days or weeks without reading the Word of God and without hearing the Word of God preached and taught? Are we as diligent in keeping a commitment to hearing the Word as we are to other commitments that we make in life? Are we as diligent to hearing the commitment to hearing the Word of God as we are to our jobs, for example? Who would think of going days without attending their job if they were had it employed somewhere? Would there be some repercussions? Would they lose their job or have their lose their pay? But then how can we go days at a time, weeks at a time, without hearing the Word of God read or hearing it preached and taught? There's an anecdote that I've repeated several times in teaching about from the life of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a pioneer missionary in inland China. He formed a mission called the China Inland Mission. And there's a story in the little biography of Hudson Taylor by a man who did some traveling with him, a fellow missionary. And he talked about how they would go, they would travel long days, and they would often go from village to village, house to house, sometimes arriving late in a village and being hosted by a Christian family there after they've been out ministering and preaching, and sometimes ministering to Christians, sometimes evangelizing. And he told the story of how wherever they were, no matter what time it was that they went to bed, that Hudson Taylor would rise to read the scriptures and to pray. And he talked about hearing the strike of a match sometimes at 3 a.m. and seeing the kerosene lamp lit and hearing Hudson Taylor open the Bible and read the Bible and pray over the Bible, meditate upon the scriptures. He said in this way, you know, Hudson Taylor became a mighty man of God and a man mighty in the Word because he had read through the Bible so many times and he had never let a day go by that he didn't read it and meditate upon it. And so we are to attend upon the Word of God first with diligence. Secondly, the Catechism teaches we are to attend upon the Word of God with preparation. With preparation. The proof text here is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The second here of our seven witnesses to this Catechism teaching, where it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Are we aware that it takes spiritual preparation to hear the Word of God? Perhaps sometimes we don't get much benefit from reading the Bible or even from hearing sermons and teaching, not because that the Bible isn't powerful and effective or that the preacher is ineffective. We all are ineffective. But maybe it's because of us. Maybe it's because of a lack of preparation, cultivation in our own hearts. Perhaps our hearts are distracted. Perhaps they're distracted by spiritual things that are happening in our life. Perhaps they're distracted by some of our own selfishness. This is why Peter says that we should lay aside all malice. Do you have malice against someone? Malice, evil intent or thought? Do you have guile? Spiritual falseness? Hypocrisies? Envies? Evil speakings? Peter says, lay these things aside so that as newborn babes you might desire the milk of the Word and grow thereby. Now, I don't know what goes on in the mental life of an infant. It'd be very interesting to know, wouldn't it? But my guess is most infants they haven't had enough experiences probably to be sitting there thinking, I resent mommy for this, that, or the other thing. Or I'm so upset about this past experience I had with drinking milk. I've heard it taught that maybe milk isn't the best thing for you, that you should have milk and something else. They just have a hunger for the milk, and they lay aside. They really don't have the distractions to get in the way. They just want the milk. And maybe Peter is saying that's what we need to be like. Perhaps we have not been good stewards of our time. Perhaps we have not been good stewards of our bodies. Maybe we don't have time to read the Bible because there's so many other things scheduled, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. Perhaps we don't have the energy to read because we've stayed up too late and we've watched too many other movies or films, and we've crowded out the time that might be given to reading the Word of God. Perhaps on Sundays, when we have generally an opportunity to assemble and hear the Word, we don't take the fullest opportunity of it because we've stayed out too late on Saturday night. Or we've let some distraction get us on Sunday morning, whether it's a emergency vehicle going by or whatever. Someone has said a good Sunday begins on Saturday. We are to attend to the Word of God with diligence, and secondly now, with preparation. Third, the Catechism teaches we are to attend to the Word with prayer. This is where Psalm 119:18, the focal verse I read in the opening, is used as a proof text. Where the prayer is, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Have you ever thought that it might be helpful to begin your reading of the Bible with a prayer for illumination? That before you do your daily Bible reading, maybe the thing to do is to take Psalm 119:18 and make it your prayer. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You probably noticed that when we worship on the Lord's Day, generally, before we have the preaching of the Word, after we've read it, we have what we would call liturgically a prayer of illumination. We ask the Holy Spirit to give us life, because we recognize that apart from God's light, we will not understand the truth. We will be like people wandering around in the dark. And so we must pray that God will open our eyes to be able to understand the Scriptures before we read it privately, before we hear it preached. And that can be a corporate prayer, but it can also be a prayer that you voice yourself as you sit there in the pew before the Scriptures are read, before a sermon is preached. God, use this message. Speak to me through your Word today. Let me hear what you want me to hear today as it's being preached and taught. Fourth, we are to receive the Word with faith. We are to receive the Word with faith. The proof text here is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, which says this: For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And here the author of Hebrews sets off a contrast. He says there are some people who hear the word of God preached with profit, and there are some who hear it in a profitless manner. They get no gain. They get no reward. They get no advance from it. And the difference, he says, is whether or not that hearing is mixed with faith. And I don't know, when I hear that language, I think of, a lump of flour or a cake batter or something. You've got to mix some eggs in or something. It's a little, maybe a too physical of an image, but that there must be faith mixed into our hearing. If we are always just spectators or evaluators, we will not get the full benefit of the Word. We must pray as the man said to Jesus, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And that is, I'm saying that as a hearer of the Word of God, as a reader of the Word of God, sometimes you have to intentionally say to yourself, this is the Word of God. I believe it. I believe in the God who is speaking through these words. My faith is in Christ. And I think particularly for students, if you do any literary study, you get so used to evaluating things and outlining things and critiquing things and tracing the themes in things. But the Bible is not to be read as an academic lecture. It's to be received with faith as the Word of God, as if God is speaking directly to us through His Word. If faith isn't mixed in with our hearing, it will not profit us. Fifth, the Catechism teaches it is to be received with love. The Word of God is to be received with love. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 is our fifth proof text, and it says this: "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the truth, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So he describes those who are unregenerate, those who are unsaved, those who have been deceived in unrighteousness, and who are perishing. He describes them as the kind of people who receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. If you want to read the Word of God with profit, if you want to hear the Word of God with profit preached and taught, you must love the truth. It is possible to know the truth and even to outwardly obey the truth, but not to love it. Just as there might be children who are outwardly obedient to their parents and will follow the rules, but the moment that they're away from the parents, they rebel once they gain their independence. So it is not enough just to know the truth or merely to obey the truth, but we must love it. We must embrace it for ourselves. Six of our seven ways we receive the Word of God, whether in hearing it read or hearing it preached and taught, is we lay it up in our hearts. We lay it up in our hearts. The proof text here is Psalm 119, verse 11, where it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And this is one of our classic verses that reinforces the importance of memorizing the Word of God. There is reading the Word of God, there is hearing the Word of God, and there is hiding of the Word of God in our hearts. And this point challenges us and asks us, have you memorized the Word of God? Are you committed not only to reading it, but to memorizing? It's one of the things I hope we've found helpful about the attempts we've made at trying to memorize verses this year as a church. The question is this: do you know more lyrics of secular songs, or the dialogue of secular movies, or even uninspired Christian songs and movies, than you do of the Word of God? I was talking with someone this past week who was telling me about Adventures in Odyssey. And he has a friend that apparently runs a fan-based website for people who like Adventures in Odyssey. And this person, he's an adult, but he's homeschooled. And he said that he and his some of his siblings, they had memorized whole huge swaths of dialogue of Adventures in Odyssey, and they would play a game where they would say a snippet of an Adventure in Odyssey episode, and they would have to name which Adventures in Odyssey episode it came from. After he was telling me that for a while, he said, "You know, we really enjoyed doing that." He said, "But I thought about that later, and I thought, you know, I wish that we had spent as much time memorizing Scripture as we had the dialogue from Adventures in Odyssey." And that's not to put down, knowing the dialogue to Adventures in Odyssey, but what do we know more of? Do we know more of these sorts of uninspired things, even profitable things? Or do we know more of the Word of God? I can tell you that from my early days, I know too many lyrics, too many songs, and they're all in my head, and they get played around and around, and sometimes they get in there and you can't take them out. But how much better to lay the Word of God up in our hearts by laying it up in our minds. And then we see how this brings us profit. These become resources for us as we live out the Christian life. We face dilemmas. We face decisions. We face opportunities when we can defend the faith and we have a resource of Scripture memorized that can be brought, the Spirit can bring to our minds so that we can give an answer to every man who asks us about the hope that is in us. The seventh way in which we are to attend upon the Word, the Catechism teaches, is we are to practice it in our lives. We are to practice it in our lives. The proof text here, the seventh proof text, the final one, is James 1:25, which says this: "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We are not to be hearers of the word only, James says in other places, but we are to be doers of the word. We are not only to know the truth or to know about the truth, but we are to practice it. And so this is probably the hardest of all, is we show that we diligently attend upon the Word of God by actually leaving the Bible reading cubicle or leaving the sanctuary from worship, and we put into practice the things that we have heard from God's law. My grandfather, my mom's father, when I was growing up, we would come and visit them, and my grandfather was a very meticulous man and kept his property very neat and clean and orderly, and he had a garage that was very orderly, and he had a car that he drove, but he had another car. I don't even know what the make and model of it was, but it was a car that was like the special car that he never drove. It was in the garage. It was perfectly clean and tidy. He even, I remember, had the car tires up on little squares of carpet so that they wouldn't touch the concrete flooring of the garage. The problem was, I never saw him drive it. I mean, he kept that thing in great condition, but a car is made to drive. It's made to use. And so we can have all the meticulous and well-ordered theology, systematically defined, knowledge of the Bible, but it has to be put into practice. And that's a lot harder sometimes, isn't it? When someone's done you wrong, to remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount: love your enemies, pray for those who have despitefully used you, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Flee fornication. Practice hospitality. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of it. So, friends, how is the word to be read and heard, that it may become effectual both for our salvation and sanctification? It is to be read with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in your hearts and practice it in your lives. Amen. Let me invite you to stand together. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the teachings of your word, and even when we just take seven verses like this that are centered around one theme, we see the wisdom of one mind teaching us one way to read and hear your word. And help us, Father, to love the truth and to do what we need to do by your grace, to hear the word, to treasure it, and to profit by it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.